Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Tamara Thomas, Editor-in-Chief of UrbanHealthToday.com, part of the DocWire family of medical news sites, and I want to thank you for tuning in to Urban Health Weekly. Our goal each week is to keep you informed of the latest in health and medical news right from today's headlines. It's time to empower yourself with open conversations about your medical care with news that matters to you. So are you ready? Let's get started. This is Urban Health Today, and I'm speaking with Dr. Joe Kimura, CMO of Somatus. He's here to talk about the ways that value-based care better serves marginalized people living with chronic kidney disease and the Validation Institute's evaluation of Somatus' Transitions of Care program. Thanks for speaking with me today, Dr. Kimura.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Great. Okay, can you please talk about your background and your work with Somatus?
Absolutely. Well, it's a privilege to be here. So I'm Joe Kimura. I serve as the Chief Medical Officer for Somatus. And I'm a primary care doctor by training. I'm also boarded in clinical informatics. And my entire career, I've been both clinically and administratively involved in value-based care programs. And so it's deep in my heart about why it's really important to focus on prevention and not just treatment. Here at Somatus, actually, we're the nation's leading value-based kidney care company, and we serve approximately 160,000 patients in 36 states in all lines of commercial insurance, Medicare, Medicare Advantage, Medicaid, and commercial plans. And what we do is we really try to focus on getting our providers, both nephrologists, primary care doctors, other specialists, and our patients focused on slowing the progression of chronic kidney disease, trying to improve overall health of those patients such that we can avoid the numbers of patients that were requiring dialysis and clearly try to reduce the morbidity and suffering of patients with chronic kidney disease. And so we do it as a population-based model that's very proactive, and we try to really make sure that we bring all the different tools and skill sets that are needed to help address a lot of the barriers to care seen in this patient population. So super exciting to be here. I think it's a really needed service, and I'm really proud of the stuff that we're doing today to help push the needle forward for this population.
Well, it's exciting to have you here. Now, can you talk a little bit about the prevalence of chronic kidney disease among low-income and marginalized patients?
Yeah, so it's a great question. And let me start at the super high level in the sense that chronic kidney disease is actually very common in the United States population and internationally. So the Centers for Disease Control cite that about 1 in 7 patients, adults, actually have some form of chronic kidney disease. But unfortunately, in the earlier stages of chronic kidney disease, like many chronic conditions, patients don't always recognize or realize that they have it. And when they start to realize that they have it, then their kidney disease has generally progressed to a much more severe point in time. The estimates are that about 9 out of 10 adults with CKD may not actually know that they have that condition. And again, we're talking all the way up to early stages 1, 2, and 3. But when you look at that, and then you take a look at how this condition impacts communities of color, and folks in marginalized communities, you see some significant disparities, unfortunately. So two facts that I'll throw out just to sort of help anchor, particularly in our Black populations, you see that in the U.S. population, Black African-American population makes up about 13% of the U.S. population, but they make up almost 35% of those with end-stage kidney disease. On top of that, when you look at the rate of progression of kidney disease, so going from an earlier stage of kidney disease, the scale goes from 1, which is the lightest, to 5, which is close to end stage. And you see that the rate of progression is almost twice, a little over twice, as fast in terms of progression from lower stages to higher stages in Black patients versus white patients. So you see consistently that not only is the prevalence of this condition higher in our marginalized communities, the severity and the quality of care impacting these communities leave a lot to be desired.
That is startling information. Absolutely startling. Yeah. Wow. I wonder.
It's unfortunate. Yeah.
So, in your view, why is chronic kidney disease so prevalent? Like, are doctors missing it? Like, what's happening here?
Yeah, I wish it was a really straightforward answer, but it's a great question and really pushes us to think about some of the root causes. And if I take a couple of steps walk us through how patients develop chronic kidney disease and the drivers of that, that may start to help uncover some of these core roots for why we're seeing such disparities. So two of the most common conditions that lead to chronic kidney disease is high blood pressure and diabetes. And if we look at the rate of and the prevalence or how common those conditions are within the U.S. population, particularly amongst our marginalized populations, the prevalence is higher in our marginalized communities for both of these conditions. And on top of that, again, their rate of control, i.e. management of their blood pressure, getting your blood pressure to guideline-directed targets of good blood pressure control, getting your diabetes sugars under good control, those numbers are actually significantly less good in our marginalized populations. And so when you say, okay, two of the most common conditions that lead to chronic kidney disease are also not as well controlled, you start to say, okay, that's another factor that starts to peel that onion. But let's go even further, honestly. So what drives hypertension and diabetes prevalence? And that's when we start to really get into some of the broader factors of what's happening in our marginalized populations, not just at the individual level, but at the community levels, around factors like obesity, access to good food, the health-related social needs, as well as access towards good preventative care. So when you look at those factors and say, if patients have good access to the nutritious foods, ability to get the types of interventions and the preventative care that they need, you will start to see improvements in some of these inequities and disparities. And we've seen that again and again and again. It's just that it's still very prevalent throughout the United States.
How does the standard of care for treating chronic kidney disease differ between urban and rural areas? And why do you think that is?
Yeah, it's an interesting question, probably a root cause of saying that we know that the medical guidelines don't vary, right? We know what we need to do to get your blood pressure under control. We know what we need to do to get your diabetes under control. But if you're in an environment, right, that doesn't have, say, enough PCPs, or you're in an environment that's lacking in resources such that you can't get access to the right medications, then patients in certain communities are going to be at a disadvantage in the fact that they can't actually execute or really follow what we would call the standard of care for most patients in these chronic conditions. And so it's not like they don't want to, right? The clinicians that are there trying to treat these patients and the patients themselves want to actually be sure that they're following the guidelines, but many barriers prevent them from actually being able to do that. And, you know, from my experience as well, too, everyone is trying their best. So they will try their darndest to follow as closely as possible. But again, when you have that many barriers between you and great guideline-directed care, unfortunately, the, quote, standard in such communities can be less than optimal. And this is not just, marginalized communities by sort of rural or urban. We see these kinds of gaps actually all over the United States in various communities. Even in a city, I'm sitting up here in Boston right now, There are pockets within a city of Boston where we have a lot of doctors, a lot of clinicians, and a lot of healthcare. We have pockets where these kinds of disparities exist.
Wow. What steps is Somatus taking to improve access to care for marginalized patients living with CKD?
So as a value-based care provider, we are very much aligned that says everything that we do that helps prevent further progression of kidney disease and avoidance of someone needing to get to the place where they start dialysis is better. And clinically, as a primary care doc, that is my mantra. I always will say, prevention is the ultimate form of treatment. It's great to provide world-class treatment, but it's even better to be able to provide world-class prevention. And so when we get going for our patient populations in Somatus, we actually take a lot of pride and spend a lot of effort trying to figure out how do we get our patients in to see community-based PCPs and nephrologists and specialists. And so we will do regular assessments of health-related social needs to identify those barriers. We will try to bring our care team members out into the field, into the communities, in the patient's home to try to help work with them and partner with them to help overcome these barriers. We also do a lot of things around trying to make sure that when patients are being seen by providers, that those providers are following the guidelines as best as possible. So we track the care that they're being provided. And if there is some gaps in that, we try to nudge both the patients and the providers to be sure that we're doing our best, right? Fully acknowledging there's lots of barriers to doing this stuff, but being sure that everyone is trying their best to get as close to optimal care as possible. And there's one other factor that's always interesting. And I'm going to sort of, if I may, sort of a slight diversion that talks about.
Yes, please.
In preventive care, right, it's not like our patients have a lot of problems and they're trying to get care to try to relieve those symptoms. So early CKD, early chronic kidney disease, again, could be completely asymptomatic for a patient. They can go about living their day-to-day life and never know they have CKD. So in order for them to get great care that can prevent long-term complications, they really do need to trust the providers that they're working with. And this is where, again, there's another structural inequality that exists within our healthcare system in the sense that we know from data, and I'm citing some work that was done out of Stanford way, way, way back, Dr. Aslan, who basically found that if patients are being cared for by providers with a racial concordance, they are much more likely to follow and get the preventative screening that they need. I think it was some numbers were 50% more likely to get the diabetes screening that they needed, 70% more likely to get some of the cholesterol screening and get flu vaccines, et cetera, et cetera.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
One size fits all seemed like a good idea for clothes.
Nice dress. It's a t-shirt.
Until you tried it on. Same goes for your healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers a variety of flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. So whether you're between jobs, coming off a parent's plan, or even missed open enrollment, you can find the plan that fits you best. Find out more about United Healthcare coverage at uh1.com. That's uh1.com.
The patients were seeing providers that were racially concordant. And we know today that the numbers of providers that are representative of our marginalized communities is far lower than it should be. And it's been something that's published a lot. RWJ, Urban Institute, has published a lot on these gaps. But if we can help our patients get to those concordant providers, the likelihood that both the patients will get what they need and will be able to follow and trust that care plan, particularly when they're in the early stages where there's not a lot bothering them, but they want to be on these, you want them to be on these treatments that can help prevent downstream complications, it becomes critically important. And we at Somatus are very committed to that work and trying to make sure, how do we help promote that kind of expansion of our providers that are representative of our marginalized communities, but also matching our patients with those providers as effectively as possible.
You know, it's been my impression, and I could be wrong, but I just get the impression that providers outside of the kidney space don't talk about this enough with their primary care patients. I had the pleasure of talking with LaTanya Weston, an NP that works for Somatus, and she really gave our listeners a great bird's eye view insight into the care that Somatus puts into patients. So I really applaud you guys. Somatus recently signed the Evolution Health Equity Pledge with over 50 other healthcare organizations. What is this initiative and how will it help address health disparities?
The goal of this overall initiative is to more effectively identify disparities in health, diagnose those root causes that we've just been talking about, and then instill some accountability in the healthcare system for eliminating these disparities. And it aligns with our Somatus goal of bending the curve on these health outcomes towards greater health racial justice. So what it means on a practical level is that one of the first things that all of us have to be able to do to say, okay, how are we closing the inequity gaps, is to collect the information necessary to be able to measure these things, right? And so collection of race, ethnicity, language, and gender identity is really critical to be sure that we can take a look across our populations and see whether or not are we actually closing those gaps, and where they exist, what can we be doing differently about them? But then when you collect the data, you then need to figure out, how do you drive that into all of the standard quality improvement and operational improvement processes that we've got, such that people don't lose sight of it, right? So for example, if we tell our care teams, and I think this is the same for all the organizations that signed up for the Health Equity Pledge, we know that there's gaps in blood pressure control, where we know that there's a certain percentage of patients that will be tremendously beneficial if we can do the work to get them towards goal. But sometimes, if you don't refract that same statistic by how is it going in our Asian population, in our Native American population, in our Black population, you miss an opportunity to really do some great work that advances the entire population, but actually starts to be sure that you're not actually reaching, quote, the goal or target by ignoring or maintaining gaps in specific subpopulations. And so all of the organizations that have signed up for this pledge, I think, are committed to start to do these kinds of activities. And when we learn what works, we're pledging to share them with all the other organizations, such that all of us can help move together towards a much more racially just health system.
Well, that's fantastic.
Oh, absolutely. I think it's great. It's been a long time coming, and we need to do more of it.
Recently, the Validation Institute certified that patients receiving care from Somatus when coming home after a hospital stay were 49% less likely to be readmitted to the hospital. How did you achieve this?
So we know that patients coming out of an acute inpatient hospital back to the home, it's a very, very clinically risky time period. If we take one step back, care is very regimented and very structured in the hospital, right? The nurse, you're in the bed, you're in the hospital room, lots of things are being monitored, what you eat, the medications you take, everything's very structured. And when many of our patients are discharged and make it home, you're suddenly in an environment where worst case scenario, you are alone trying to manage everything. Best case scenario, you have family and friends and a social structure that can help you do these things. But the transition from that structured inpatient setting to the outpatient setting, particularly around things like medications, Lots of things can go wrong. And we've seen this a lot of different times, right? You have a list of 10 medications that you're taking before you go into the hospital. You go into the hospital, you get 11 medications coming out, but maybe five of them are the same, six of them are different. And then when you get home, everything gets mixed up. And when that gets mixed up and patients take the wrong doses, the wrong combination of medications, they can get sick pretty quickly. And sometimes, and a lot of times, they can get readmitted into the hospital for things that are completely avoidable and treatable. So we at Somatus focus a lot on how do we reach out to that patient, contact them within 3 to 7 days of being discharged to the hospital, make sure the medications are fully reconciled between the discharging medications and the home medications. We are again focused very much on getting that patient back in to see their provider within 7 days, such that if anything needs to happen to change some of those discharge regimens, that opportunity is taken care of. And when we go into the home, we're trying to make sure there's nothing else in the home that adds additional risk. And we're thinking about things like falls, things like food insecurity and other things like that can inevitably lead to a patient having to go back to the hospital. So we have a structured program that does this for most of the patients that we serve in our community. And we found that, again, it makes a big, big, big difference.
Mm-hmm. Somatus' TLC assessment was expanded this year to include stage 3 kidney patients. What is Somatus doing to expand services further upstream? And what can healthcare professionals do in that respect?
Yeah, this is the exciting part, I would say. As for a long period of time, kidney care and chronic kidney care was very much focused on what happens at the later stages, right? 4, 5 and ESKD. We've had advancements in dialysis care, advancements in transplant care. And those advances are continuing to come. I get amazed reading their most recent papers in these areas. But I think what's very exciting, and particularly as a primary care physician, is that we now have more effective medications that, if started early, have clearly demonstrated that we can change the course of disease and we can prevent a lot of patients from having to end up on dialysis. So I'm talking about classes of medication like the SGLT2 inhibitors, the non-steroidal MRAs. And I think we're all excited and waiting to see if these new GLP medications may actually also help slow progression. But in those cases, for CKD 3 and 2, if we can identify patients earlier on, patients are at high risk for progression, and get them started on these kinds of medications sooner, we can really, really, really reduce the morbidity felt by patients. And again, we know that these conditions disproportionately impact our marginalized communities. So if we can get these interventions out to our marginalized communities more robustly, we can make a big, big difference. And I think that's what a lot of us can lean into. And I think right now, for some of these medications, their use is still pretty low. And again, not to sort of dismiss the fact that new medications, as your listeners know, sometimes can be expensive. So we're trying to figure out how to balance those economic barriers, the access barriers, but getting folks on effective treatment is one of the best things we can do. And it's exciting. We're a time and a place today in medicine that we have the tools that are effective.
I'm so glad you acknowledged the expense, because when you said GLP-1, I said to myself, whoa, that's really expensive. I don't know if marginalized patients can afford that. So I'm glad that you guys are taking a look at that. So how does value-based care better serve CKD patients versus the fee-for-service care model?
It's a great, great question. I think, the fundamental difference, I believe, is that it aligns the financial incentives, right? How healthcare gets paid with the clinical prioritization that we all know as clinicians, right? That an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. So right now in a fee-for-service model, obviously a patient that has lots of complications from chronic kidney disease requires a lot of care. And in fee-for-service, that's what gets paid. The more you do, the more you get paid. In value-based care, it shifts that incentive that says if you're able to intervene sooner, and it might be less intensive care, right? I just need to have a conversation with this patient about changing their diet and taking this new medication. It's not tremendously, I don't want to minimize it because I think it's a lot of work still for our clinicians. But right. if you do those small things, you can actually save a lot of time, effort, and cost downstream. And that stuff can get paid at a much more robust level that it makes it worthwhile for clinicians in value-based care to focus on that and not say, if I had two things to do and it's to treat the complication versus try to prevent things overall, every single time I'm going to work on treatment because that's the only thing that gets paid. So value-based care shifts that incentive, and I think it aligns the financial incentives beautifully with great clinical care.
Wow. Dr. Joe Kimura, CMO of Somatis, it was so great having you today and talking about this. I hope that we can keep this conversation going because I feel that chronic kidney disease is something that is not talked about enough outside of your circles. And this really needs to be on the radars of marginalized patients and people of color, the way Absolutely. Heart disease and diabetes yeah. and weight management and these other determinants are regularly monitored. Kidney health also needs to be monitored and looked at the same way. So thank you so much for your work in this this area.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for the opportunity to speak with your listeners. And thank you for the great work that you're doing at Urban Health Today. Appreciate it.
Thanks for listening to Urban Health Weekly today. I hope you'll join me and my friends next week so you can stay informed and inspired to take control of your health. See you next time.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.